Welcome to the Feel Good Parenthood Podcast, your go-to mum crew for all things parenting. I'm Courtney, the no-nonsense, cut-the-fluff, multitasking gin enthusiast.
I'm Steph, your source for zero bullshit advice, coffee lover and eye rolls.
And I'm Emma, the woo mama of the group, juggling snacks and deadlines. We're keeping it sweary and messy with a good dose of tips and tricks that you can actually try at home. Because let's face it, if we can't laugh at the chaos, we are probably going to cry.
So grab your coffee, hide in the closet if you need to, no judgment from us, and join us every week for your dose of feel-good parenthood. Let's dive in.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Feel Good Parenthood Podcast. You have got me, Courtney, and Emma joining you today, and we are going to dive in to a really big topic around holding space, because what the fuck does that even mean in real time? when our kids are having these major meltdowns and tantrums, like what the hell is holding space? And it's a really big term that's thrown around a lot in parent world, and particularly in like responsive and gentle parenting circles. And it is a really bloody good term for what it is that we're doing, but
no one knows what it means.
But a lot of the time, we're just like, what the hell? What the hell does it actually mean? And yes, it is simple in terms of like the practice of it, like once you've got your head around what is it, but it's actually a massive challenge for parents, okay? We are 100% wired to feel each other's feelings, but we're also triggered as fuck when it's an uncomfortable feeling. So this is like it's like a real heat. It can be really, really fucking hectic and take a lot of practice, and you're still going to get it wrong every now and then.
Yeah. 100%. I guess for me and my work, like I've always, like, I guess my first introduction, I should say, to holding space has always been with mothers, like with mums and holding space for them.
Yeah.
And whenever I've used the term holding space and people are like, what even is that? There's a couple of really good analogies that I guess through the learnings and trainings that I've done in holding space talk to it. So the first, and it kind of ties it all in together with the toddler stuff and the stuff for our kids with a different layer of understanding. But I guess for me, holding space is not about what you do and it's not about what you say, but it's about who you be. And it's about who you be for the other person in that moment. So as two adults, if you were to come to me hysterical, like bawling your eyes out, upset, I don't need to come at you with advice and guidance or anything like that. I need to actually just hold space for you for what you need. And at that time, it could be a hug. It could be somebody just say, you know what, I'm here for you. It could be literally just sitting with you and saying nothing, but you know that you're supported in that moment. It's about, you know, and people always talk about holding space as being a safe space, to which I have to kind of disagree with, because it's not always a safe space, particularly with toddlers. Like, you don't know what is going to come out. And you don't know what's going to come out with adults as well. You can sit in a circle of five women and hold space for their stories, and some of those stories are going to be really traumatic and they're going to trigger the shit out of you. And I think one of the best, it's not even an analogy, but a story around holding space was over a family when they were losing their grandmother, and the way the like the end of life doula held space for them. She gave them the guidance that they needed for the, I guess, you know, the procedures and things that had to take place, the processes and things they had
practical
to organize.
Stuff.
And then she gave them simple bits of advice that they could do to then hold that space for their grandmother. They didn't have to do anything per se, but it was about how they were there to be there for her. And it's the exact same with our kids, but our kids have a whole different range of needs. And as you said, like holding that space for them, obviously, like 9 times out of 10 is going to trigger us, because we have mostly been raised to think, like to feel that, like, you know, certain feelings are bad. So when somebody feels upset, angry, nervous, or whatever, we just want to shut it down. stop crying, you'll be fine, don't be angry, low it, like, because we're uncomfortable in those feelings. And it's probably the biggest learning that we can take now is that we don't want to stop those feelings for our kids.
No.
It takes about 90 seconds for these emotions, like hormonal emotions, to release in the body. And if we shut it down, all we're going to do is help them store it in their body. Whereas if we actually hold that space for them to just let it out and actually let it out, then they're going to turn that corner and we're actually going to be able to support them in that regulation they're on.
100%. Yeah. They need to be able to get that shit out without our judgment, without our criticism, without anything else going on. Otherwise they are feeling unheard and invalidated. And that's going to raise, you're going to raise a child who's got a lot of fucking issues that they're going to have to undo when they get to being an adult. And that's that's the truth of it. Like, yeah. And when we're all just like sent to our room, like go to your room or cut that out, or you don't need to behave like this. I'm trying to think of all the other shitty things that we can kind of say when we're frustrated in the moments, but it's not helping our kids. It's not helping their emotional literacy. It's not helping them learn to self-regulate. It's doing the opposite. Like, it's often making things like harder.
Yeah. And it's a bit like monkey see, monkey do, right? Like I've said to my husband a few times, if you can't control your emotions at 50, what hope do they have at 5?
So fucking true. And it's almost ridiculous that in a lot of ways we probably find it easier to hold space for our friends than we even do for our own kids. And that's probably a bit of a bitch slap to the face, really, because you know, if our friends are going through shit, like, most of us will just hand them a tissue box and give them a hug. We're empathetic. But our kids go through something that is equally for them as full on or as intense, as equally an experience that they're having. But nah, we don't accept that. So we shut it down.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And it might be something that we have experienced 100 times over, but it could be the first time they experience something. So we really have to give that the reverence it deserves.
Definitely. And I think, you know, the process of holding space, that's what it's doing. It's just holding tight, just chill out and let those feelings come out. And it's more than just allowing them to come up. You're actually like consciously like holding your child, not necessarily physically holding them, right? Like, cause some kids don't want us to hold them when they're having their big feelings, and that's okay. But it's about letting them have their expression, getting all that cortisol and adrenaline dump out of their system.
Yeah.
And then when they're coming back in and they're finding that, you know, calm again, that's when we can kind of start to kind of, you know, co-regulate. We are co-regulating with them when we are holding space. And that's another big term that's thrown around in parent land, co-regulation. I have to co-regulate with my child. And it's like, yeah, because they're not going to learn how to self-regulate without borrowing your calm.
One of my
clients, challenging.
used the term calm is contagious, and I love it because it is. Yeah. It is so contagious. Yeah. And you know, and sometimes that holding space, it is physically holding space. Like I was taking my son just a couple of days ago, our hairdresser was closed, so we had to go to just like a shopping mall hairdresser, and he lost his shit. And I was like, in the middle of the shopping center, he's screaming at me, no! And I literally had to make like a bubble around us, because like I knew that people were looking at him. So I just had to like energetically, like just get him to focus on me, look at me, breathe with me, talk to me, and block out the rest of that noise, and kind of create that little space around him as his safe space so that I could get him to calm down. And we just waited for our hairdresser to open. But it's, you know, it could be removing them, like, you know, we were right in the middle of the shopping center, so there was nowhere to go, but it could be removing them from a situation so that they don't have people gawking at them. Or it might be, you know, taking them
back to the car,
going outside, go to the car, you know, go into their bedroom with them so that they are there with you in that space and it's just you and them.
Yeah. And you've put aside all your judgments, all your beliefs, any shame, like you're putting all of that shit aside, no matter what, how ridiculous you think this shit is right now, and how illogical and how irrational and how stupid, like you have to put that stuff aside and just be there for your child, like how they need you to be. And it's just to hold space. You're not rushing them through it. You're not trying to fix anything. You're just there for them. You might, I've got a few things that we can talk about, like a few things that we can do while we're holding that space safely for our children as well, because it's definitely about making it a safe space. And it's a safe space both for both you and your child. So if they are hurting themselves, that's not a safe space. If they're throwing things around the house, that's not a safe space. If they're hitting, kicking, biting you, that's also not a safe space. So we want to try and create this, we want to make this as safe as possible for everybody, because there also needs to be some boundaries around this shit too, right?
Yeah.
So we've
yeah.
got a few things that we thought we could talk about. Yeah, go Em.
Yeah. So the first one is, I mean, and you probably just touched on it then, so good segue, is switching your mindset around it. You know, meltdowns, tantrums, you know, any of this like bad behavior, is what it has been labeled for us, and it isn't actually what's happening. What we want to do, as we've touched on already, is allow that built up stress, those built up emotions and hormones, to come out of their body. Like, all emotions, all feelings are normal, they're all healthy, they're all beneficial, and we need to try and help them get back into balance. Us being there and either using our words or not using our words and using our body language allows them to see how we self-regulate and you know, and tap into our nervous system, and that is when we can kind of help them co-regulate. It's important that in those moments, you know, that we're coming from a place of love. It's not, as you said, like fear, it's not judgment, it's not any of this. We're just coming from a space of love for our children who are having a hard time. It's not about shutting it down or rushing it.
Just letting it be. And I might just share a little bit of a story there, because my little boy is 4 next week. By the time this episode comes out, he would already be 4, but he's 4 years old. And it's been 2 years of working on emotions with this little boy, and a lot of fucking hard work and a lot of messed up situations too. Like, don't get me wrong, we've had our fucking moments with this kid. But from looking at the progress that we've made over the last 2 years, we're now at the point which is why you can't say I tried that and it didn't work. You actually have to fucking dig it in. Like, you have to keep trying, you have to keep going. Like, this is 2 years we've been working on this with him. Anyway, so we're getting to the point now where he's going, I'm feeling frustrated, I need my calm down toys. And he'll go take himself to his bedroom, open his little bedside drawer with his top drawer's got full of fiddly toys in it.
Yeah.
And that's where he goes when he needs to feel calm.
Yeah.
And sometimes he needs us to be in that room. And I have modeled to him, like, I'm using your calm down toys now because mommy's starting to feel really frustrated too. And I'm getting the toys out. And that has been enough for him to get it. But I introduced this to him when he was 2, 2.5.
Yeah.
And trust me, it didn't fucking work in the beginning. Yeah. It didn't fucking work in the beginning. Because he was 2, right? And I was, just, you know, using some of these strategies that I know they will work in time. And I've been able to model that shit for so fucking long. But now we're at a point where he's like labeling his emotion, telling me why he's feeling that emotion once he's passed it anyway. And he's noticing, I'm going to go and use my calm down toys.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm and like, you think, you know, that's the progress that he's had between 2 and 4, like, imagine what that is going to be like when he's 15, you know, as opposed to what we see in adolescent kids now, and you know, and just the violence and the things that are happening when they're angry. Imagine what would happen if he was in a classroom full of kids that could label their emotions, tell you why they're feeling that way, and know how to regulate themselves.
I know, like, fucking hello, changing the bullshit right there. Yeah, I know. And that probably leads us into our next point, which is just about reframing our expectations, okay? In the sense that, like, with that example that I just shared with you understanding that, yes, what are you doing? Are you having a moment?
Yeah, no, just everything's like falling down around me. I'm kicking stuff off of the shelf. It's fine. We're fine.
We're self-regulating. So we're reframing our expectations. So, yes, I was using Calm Down toys with a 2.5-year-old with zero expectation that this was actually going to fucking work, okay? Yeah. But I'm still doing it. Because I know that it's a supportive strategy and I know that one day he's going to get the handle of it. And look, now we're starting to reap those benefits. But it's the same thing. Remind yourself that even adults still have tantrums. Even those of us with the best self-regulation strategies and awareness levels and all the rest of it still have to work through uncomfortable emotions. We still are. And we're not the ones, like Emma was saying before, we're not the ones with the developed brains. Like we're the ones with the developed brains. Our kids have,
I hope we are,
underdeveloped brains. Yeah. Well, we're meant to anyway. Your toddler doesn't. So it's that whole like, back to that shift your mindset about my child isn't giving me a hard time. This isn't actually about me most of the time. They're not giving me a hard time. They are actually having a hard time. And so back to that whole point about the brain's not developed, like their impulse control and their emotional regulation is all part of executive function, which is in the front of the brain. And that isn't mature until age 20 fucking five. Yeah. And even then, we still have our moments, okay? So when our little kids, like they throw shit or they yell or they scream or they hit or they throw themselves a big fucking wobbly on the floor, they just do it because that's how they're feeling and that's how they get it out of their bodies. And quite frankly, it's better than storing that shit on the inside.
Yeah.
What's and I mean, and, disease? You
know, let's be honest, and this is probably going to trigger a lot of people, but let's be honest, as adults, when we get to that point, if we don't throw a wobbly, have a fight, pick a fight with our husbands or whatever it is, we generally turn to substances. So it's
totally numbing it, disassociating.
None of which is healthy. Like, we should be getting food. These things out of our body. Did you say food?
Yeah, food's a big one. Yeah, chocolate and all, like emotional eating and like that's not healthy either.
No, it definitely is not. And it's just, it kind of comes back to like we were talking before, like it's just that awareness of, oh, that's what's playing out here. And that probably links into our next point as well, which is just being aware of, you know, your own inner child, your own history, your own journey, and being kind to yourself. Like if your child is doing something, heck, if somebody else's child is doing something and it triggers something in you and it takes you back to that time that this happened or that time when you were a kid, you don't need to judge it, you don't need to feel shame, embarrassment, anything around it. But just be aware that there are probably some emotions there that you weren't allowed to feel as a child.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the same as we want our kids to feel okay to cry and to let it all out, that it's okay for you to, I guess, need to give your inner child a little bit of love and hold space for your inner child a little bit because your feelings may not have been heard. Our parents did the best with what they had. Unfortunately, when it comes to emotional intelligence and, children's psychology and all of that sort of stuff, these aren't areas that were largely developed 30, 40 years ago. So our parents did the best with what they had for us. And going in to your own childhood wounds and kind of going inward on that journey, like it's hard work. It's something I definitely recommend getting help with if you are finding yourself particularly triggered or struggling with that journey. There's definitely lots of people around that help with that one.
Yeah, it's not worth staying stuck in it at all. Not for your child's sake and not for your own sake either. And not for your family's sake. Like, that's just not worth it. So our next point really is I just wanted to... Emma's wheels have fallen off.
We've got all the things going on over here.
Anyway, we thought we'd also just kind of, dive into like, what does it actually look like in the moment? Because it really is simply a matter of co-regulating. with our children. So in that moment when they're absolutely losing their minds, just be still with them. We're not offering solutions. We're not shutting them down. We are actively listening. I actually use this term with my clients when I'm working with my parenting consultant clients, not bothered. And if you've seen the Catherine Tate show, and if you haven't, please go YouTube, Catherine Tate, not bothered, because it's so fucking funny. Well, it's funny for my humor anyway. Hopefully people like English humor, but I love that dry English humor. And anyway, she sits there and she goes, I ain't bothered. You can see she's clearly fucking pissed off, but it's just like, you've got to bring a bit of a not bothered energy to you. Like, I can see you having your feelings and I'm empathizing with that, but I am not joining your chaos. I am not joining your storm. You can have this moment and I'm going to keep a lid on my own stuff because I'm the adult who knows how to self-regulate, and I'm going to go take a drink of water, or I'm just going to pop out to the letterbox, or, you know, to check the mail, or I'm just going to go to the toilet and I'm just going to go and have my moment to self-regulate so that I can come back and continue to hold space. And this is particularly a helpful kind of parent hack for when the shit's going a little bit longer than you like it to, or that you feel comfortable holding that space for, because if you're going on an hour, you're going to need to go and take a fucking drink.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But a little wherever
walk
possible.
Around the front yard with some deep breaths.
Exactly. Exactly. But you've got to bring quite a not bothered energy about it and take some really big fucking deep breaths and ground yourself, because it's not comfortable and it doesn't feel great. But fuck, you're proud of yourself when you get to the other end of it. But
almost
the
like
other
those
thing
little,
about
personal affirmations, like taking deep breaths of like, I've got this. They're just little. They're having a hard time. Like,
from little reminders, write yourself some mantras and chuck them on the fridge.
Absolutely.
In the moments, though, you might be offering some words of reassurance. Things like, I get it. I'd feel angry too. Yeah, it's really frustrating when. Just so that your child is feeling validated, feeling seen, feeling heard. Because the 9 times out of 10, I swear to God, once you've practiced this a few times with your kids, or maybe longer, once they feel understood, they actually calm a lot fucking faster. Yeah. The tantrums and the meltdowns tend to get bigger and more blown out of proportion when you try to fight them on what they're feeling. When you try to minimize it, belittle it, shame them, it will get worse. Okay. So you're better to just, I get it. I feel that way too. Fuck that. Yes. I mean, you're not going to swear, but sometimes you might. Fuck yeah, that truck's really annoying when it doesn't go round on its wheels. You know, like, just get it.
Yeah. And it's just. Only because it happened like just the other day on this. My daughter came home from vac care and she had been playing with one of her friends, and I can't even remember what the toy was, but she was playing with it and she was like, and it's like my favorite toy and I've only just got it, blah, 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 blah. Someone came and took it away from me. And the teacher did the whole like, you know, we need to share. And you know, you just play with a different toy and blah, blah, blah. And when she came home, my husband was like, well, you know, you do have to share. And I was like, cool, give me your phone. And I just like yanked it out of his hand and he was like, what'd you do? And I was like, well, because I want it and you have to share it.
You have to share.
Sharing's caring, right? And we all just kind of went, oh, that's a bit like, as adults, that's a bit shit, isn't it? I was like, yeah. And you get it, you understand the premise of sharing. I was like, why?
But you still don't like it.
Don't
get me started on. I know, sharing is not caring. We don't love that in this area, that's for sure.
No.
But it's like, you know, like this is the hard and, but it is the most important work. And when all is calm, this is when you can do that, you know, further that reconnection, close that loop with them in the form of like having a cuddle or going for a little walk around the outside garden with them, or giving them a drink of water, or offering some calm down toys or whatever it is. And then depending on the age, you might have to offer some problem solving ideas. Very simple language. If I'm frustrated, I can stamp my feet, you know, give them alternatives that they can do rather than telling them what they shouldn't be doing. Okay. That's a real big tip there. And if they're a little bit older, coach them in finding their own solutions. Bub, what happens if you feel like this in the future? If this happens again, what could you do? Because honestly, if you start this work when they're little, they fucking get it pretty quick. And you've just got to rinse and repeat it. And that's how you increase their, you know, ability to self-regulate and their emotional toolkit. Like that's freaking like goals for life, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Letting go of that outcome and just knowing it's almost like the integrity of it. Like, I know that teaching you how to do this in a healthy way is the right thing to do. So it doesn't matter whether you get it now. It doesn't matter if somebody else is around. Like, none of that matters. I'm just going to do it because it's the right thing for you and the right thing for me.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And I suppose another reminder that we have to put in as well, when holding space for our children, is it is also important that you do, but it's also a way of holding your boundaries. So we know that these wobblies are quite often going to come around when they're not getting the things that they want, or you've set a limit that your child is simply not okay with today. It is okay for them to experience unhappiness or to be angry or sad about a limit that you have put in. It is not about raising a generation of people pleasers that can't then hold their own boundaries. It's a hard part of parenting that sometimes putting in that limit isn't going to be what they want to hear, but it's also important that we we can kind of relax and trust into the limits that we set and why we're setting them, kind of regardless of what they throw at us. Hopefully they're not actually throwing things at us. But even if they are, if the boundary is there and the boundary needs to stay firm. Otherwise, if that boundary is wobbly, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. And when you say something like it's one of my biggest things that I talk to my clients about again, is don't say something unless you're actually prepared to fucking stand up, get up and go and hold that boundary and follow fucking through. Because otherwise our kids just hear a whole lot of talk and not a lot of backup. And then of course your behaviors are going to get worse. So just kindly hold the boundary. And see it through no matter what is thrown your way. And also just be mindful that if you're starting to put boundaries in place where there weren't previously any boundaries, behavior is always going to get way more shit before it gets better. But you have to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the, I know that we love an analogy, but I'll be quick. The best analogies I've heard around holding boundaries is, you picture the like the Grand Canyon, and they've got the glass bridge that goes out over the side of the Grand Canyon, and you've got the handrails on the side of this, this glass walkway. If you shook those handrails and they moved even a millimeter, you wouldn't feel safe. Like you wouldn't walk out onto that bridge if those boundaries moved. But because you can go out and you can test those boundaries, test those handrails, and they don't move at all, you walk out over a Grand Canyon on a glass pathway. And our kids are the same within our boundaries. They feel safer when our boundaries are firm and they know what their limits are. And when our boundaries are wonky, that's when they don't feel so safe. And that can also obviously see their behavior escalate.
Yeah, 100%. Our kids' behavior is the symptom of what's going on with our parenting. Sorry. And just as our last point for this episode is what happens when your child is stuck in these feelings and just not moving through it, and you're holding all the space in the fucking world and you're rinsing and repeating the same shit and nothing's getting better? Please understand that there is very likely you need a different approach. And that they need a different approach. And that's where like some individualized support comes in, because sometimes you just don't have the tools in your toolkit or the strategies in your backpack that you need to be able to help your child. So don't stay stuck in it. Yes, the right thing to do most of the time is holding that boundary and seeing it through and following through and doing all of those things. But sometimes you just need a little bit more to be able to help. And a bit of trial and error can be really helpful when you're doing that with somebody who knows what they're doing. So don't stay stuck in it if this stuff isn't helping.
Absolutely.
So benefits of holding space, regardless, is that there's no leftovers. There's no stress that's building up and being saved up for the next big emotional meltdown. You are closing the loop. You're dealing with that situation within that situation, and nothing is snowballing. It's not building up, and then it happens again. And rinsing and repeating that same cycle. Deal with it right there and right then, and then move on. Because that's another bit of, another tool that they've got in their toolkit, or another experience they've got tucked away, building those beautiful neural pathways in their brain that they go, oh, okay, I see how this is done. Okay, I can rely on my mum. I know that this is going on. Dad is doing the same shit every time. I'm not having to guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every step that you take towards supporting your child, allowing them to fully express themselves through you holding space, through you holding those boundaries, it gives your child one less hurt, one less thing that they're going to need to heal from once they're older. Because, you know, we're all there, right? We're all doing the thing.
That we are. Well, we hope that you have enjoyed today's episode. It's a very, like, it's such a big, big topic, and hopefully we've done it some justice and given you a much more of an idea of what holding space actually is.
And how to do it well.
Yeah, I know. But also give yourself a big dose of compassion when you fuck it up, because it's going to happen. So
yeah, absolutely.
On that note, we'll see you next time.
No worries.
Bye.
And that is a wrap on today's episode. If you've enjoyed the chaos and laughter as much as we have, don't forget to hit that follow button, share with your besties who need a good laugh, and give us a like.
Don't forget to check out our Feel Good Parenthood courses, where we tackle all things toddlerhood and sleep. Our Facebook group is open and ready for you now too. Show notes have the deets.
Until next time, keep rocking your parenting game, and remember, you are doing an incredible job.